You are listening to the North Podcast, a ministry of Mount Perrin North in Marietta, Georgia.
So excited for what the Lord's already done tonight, what he's going to continue to do. I believe that the Lord has given me a message that is not for, you know, just a select group of people. I believe that this message is for every person in the room, every person. I'll put the caveat, every person who is wanting to grow closer to the Lord, this message, I believe, is for you. And I believe as people, as Christians, that's our goal, right? Is to draw near to the Lord, is to get closer to the Lord. But how many of you know that you hit a little, you know, maybe you've hit a rut, maybe you've hit a stumbling block, maybe you've hit something that you feel like you've been doing everything right. Maybe you feel like you've got it all together, and yet you still feel like you're bumping up into what you would consider a ceiling. You've reached what you think is your peak with the Lord. And then you try whatever you can. You start to dive more into the Word, and maybe you even start praying more. Maybe you go to more and more service. Maybe you come on a first Wednesday night trying to figure out, why in the world am I not growing? Why am I not progressing in my walk? And you start to feel like there's this disconnect from you and the Lord. You feel like maybe sometimes you feel a little confused, a little frustrated. You start to do everything in your power, you know, scheduling out your Bible times. Anybody else done that? Like making sure that you got every time. Maybe you start to schedule out more Bible time. Maybe you start to pray a little bit more. But then all of a sudden, as you start to do those things, you start to get more and more frustrated. You start to get more and more, you know, run down. You feel like, man, nothing is changing. My walk is not changing. I'm using all of my self-control that I've got. I'm using all of the scheduling that I can. And time after time after time, I find myself falling short, hitting a brick wall. And tonight I want to talk to you about the idea that maybe we're using the wrong weapons against the wrong enemy. What if the way that we're going about this fight of progressing our walk with the Lord, we're taking it and we've got it skewed. We've got our focus. We've got our attention on the wrong thing. And so tonight I want to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. It says this. This is Paul writing. For though we walk in flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. I'd like to offer up a question. What if our fight, what if the way that we've been doing, what if our problem is not just a self-control problem? What if our problem is not a scheduling problem? What if our problem is actually a stronghold problem in our lives that is holding us back from progressing with the Lord? What if the way that we've been fighting, the things that we've been doing to try and get back on track, to try and progress with the Lord, we're missing the mark? What if it's not a problem of our world, our physical world? What if it's something taking place inside of us that is holding us back from the Lord? What if we've got a stronghold problem in our life? And so tonight, I want to make this clear. As we dive into strongholds, I'm not talking about a temptation, okay? I'm not talking about a temptation that keeps on coming up but you never act on. You know, I'm not talking about temptations. And then on the flip side, I'm not talking about the demonic presence in your life. The way that I would describe a stronghold is something that is hindering you from getting to where you want to be with the Lord, from progressing with the Lord. These are things that are, you can describe it as, you know, those familiar spirits in your life. The familiar things, the things that just always seem to rear their ugly heads at the most inopportune times. The things that you've been struggling with time after time after time. And yes, you're saved. Yes, you are free. But time after time after time, whenever things start to happen, those things start to crawl their way back into your life. It's a familiar spirit, something familiar in your life. And tonight, I want to share with you the way, some of the weapons that the enemy uses to keep those strongholds in our lives. Because if we know how the enemy's fighting against us, then we know how to counter it, right? If we know the weapons that the enemy is using against us, then we know how to start to progress and start to move and start to uproot those strongholds. And so my prayer tonight is that somebody in here who has been struggling, you feel like you've been hitting your ceiling. My prayer tonight is that you will see your breakthrough. My prayer tonight is that you will see your freedom take place, and your growth in your spiritual walk with the Lord will start to grow exponentially as you start to uproot those strongholds that have been in your life for so long. So can we pray one more time before we hop in? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are speaking to us. You're not a distant God, but you are right here with us. Father, I pray that you would speak directly. Father, I pray that your spirit would speak through me. I pray that the words that I would say would not be mine, but would be yours. Allow me to fade into the background and you take center stage tonight, God. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight, I want to share with you four weapons that the enemy uses to keep those strongholds rooted into our lives. The first one is this: ignorance. The enemy will use ignorance. That's his first line of defense. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. This is Jesus speaking. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Jesus in this moment says that we as believers, we as people who are following him, can actually fool ourselves into thinking that we're doing the right thing whenever we're actually doing the wrong thing. How scary is that, right? I mean, how terrifying is that, that we can trick ourselves into thinking that what we're doing is right when it's actually darkness? We can believe that what we are living in right now is light, but when it's actually darkness. And I think there's oftentimes two camps in the ignorance camp, okay? Look, I'm as ignorant as anybody else, okay? So bear with me, okay? I'm a part of the crowd here, but there's two camps. I have plenty of experience here, okay? Two camps. There's blissful ignorance, where we don't want to know, right? We don't want to know the things that we need to change in our lives, so we don't have to change, right? Or there's the other side where we just don't know because we don't know. We haven't learned. We haven't been taught. But either one of those camps is the enemy's sweet spot. Because if you believe, whether you don't want to change or whether you just haven't been told, if you believe that you're living in light when you're living in darkness, that's the enemy's sweet spot. I heard a quote a couple of months ago. And I thought it was great. It really stuck out with me. They said this: when you walk in darkness long enough, your eyes start to get adjusted to it. When you walk in darkness long enough, then what happens is your eyes start to get used to it. And that's where the enemy really starts to strike, because then you start playing the comparison game, right? It's the, well, I'm not as bad as this person over here, so it's okay. Well, that person, they're sleeping around on their wife or their husband. I'm only talking about it. I'm only gossiping about it. So, like, you know, I'm not doing as bad as they are. And we start to play this comparison game, and that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be in. Because if we are ignorant, we don't get the full view of the gospel. We don't get the full view of who Jesus was. In our ignorance, we don't actually know what God has called us to, the higher standard that God has called us to. In our ignorance, we can find ourselves continuously going back and forth saying, well, at least I'm not that guy. And in ignorance, we think that God somehow judges on a curve. If I can just be better than that person, then I'm gonna get to heaven. They call themselves a Christian, so if I can just, that's the baseline, right? And for us, what the enemy wants us to do is be so ignorant to the fact that God has called us to so much greater. And this is why it is so important for us to have a knowledge of the word, to dive into the word, to know what God has called us to be, to know the way that we need to live, to know that he has called us to be holy, to be set apart, not just to live a good life, but to live a holy life. And so we have to step out of the ignorance, because as long as we stay there, that's where the enemy thrives. So the enemy uses ignorance. The second thing that the enemy uses is apathy. The enemy would love nothing more than for you to not care. The enemy would love nothing more than for you to not care about the things of this, you know, about walking and progressing your walk with the Lord, because he knows that that takes away everything else. Every weapon that you have against him, if you're apathetic towards it, it starts to take everything else away. If you're apathetic towards the Lord, if you're apathetic in your life, then your worship will start to fade. Your praise will start to fade. Your love of Christ will start to fade. Apathy just starts to build and build and build in your life. I heard a saying that the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. For us as a church, as the big church across the world, the thing that is running most rampant in our church is apathy. We say that we love the Lord. We say that we care. But yet time after time after time, we leave people in the dust. Time after time after time, we come in. We go through the motions. We go through and we're apathetic towards everything. And the lack of care causes people to fall into horrible ruts in their walk with the Lord. Because the enemy knows that an apathetic Christian is not an impactful Christian. Look what Jesus says in Revelations. Don't be scared. I know it's Revelations. Revelations 3, 15 through 16, it says this. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus says that we don't get to be apathetic at the end. We don't get to not care in the end. We have to choose. Listen, disposition towards the Lord is offensive towards the Lord. For us, you may say that you love the Lord with your mouth, but what is reflecting in your life? Are you showing that you care? Are you showing? Yes, we can say that we don't hate the Lord, but we can have apathy towards every single person that we come into contact with day after day after day. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Are you worshiping like you care about him? Are you praising him like he saved your eternity? Are you witnessing like you care about other people's eternity? Are we apathetic in action? Yes, we can say that we love the Lord. Yes, we can say that we cherish him. But are we treating people like we love him? Are we treating him like we love him? Because here's the thing. Like, if we, your worship doesn't have to look like anybody else's, okay? Let me make that very, very clear. Your worship doesn't have to look like anybody else's. But if your worship looks like you in the checkout line of Publix, we might need to have a conversation. Are you with me? Do you understand? This is the man who has saved your eternity. He pulled you from the depths of hell. Our worship should reflect something, right? But the enemy would love nothing more than to keep you apathetic, to keep you, that's not really me. That's not really what I do. It is what it is. And for some reason, us as humans, we've decided that it's appealing to be apathetic. But tonight, the Lord has called you to so, so, so much more. So, apathy, ignorance, And the third thing is pride. The enemy will use pride to keep those strongholds in your life. Because here's the deal. And this is the one that's like the enemy's favorite, right? Because this is the one that got him. Like this is the one before everything took place with all of the things, he was the first one to sin. And the first sin that entered in was pride, right? He thought that he could do it better than the Lord. And so he rose up in rebellion against him, and then the Lord sent him down into the depths of hell. This is the one that he's most familiar with, right? This is the one that he loves to get us with too, right? I'll speak for myself. This is the one that he likes to get me with, right? He loves this one because pride strips us of our reliance on the Lord. Pride, thinking that we've got it all together, will strip us from praying to the Lord. It disconnects us. Our pride disconnects us from the Lord. Because it'll lead us to not going to him. It'll lead us to not seeking after direction or guidance. Our pride is the thing that wells up inside of us that says, I don't really need to. I don't really need to pray about him for this small thing in my life. I think I got this one covered. And with that step, we start to take baby steps away from the Lord, time after time after time. The most prideful thing that we can do as humans is not pray. If you aren't praying, I can guarantee you, if we get to the root cause of it, it comes down to pride. No matter what your excuse is, I don't have time, I'm overworked, underpaid, I don't have time in the day, I'm tired, it's boring, whatever it is, it comes down to the root cause of, I think that I can do what God can't do. Pride. Ultimately, when we don't pray, we're saying, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. And we fall into this trap time after time after time when God says in James 4:8 that if you would just draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He has a plan for our lives. He's in full control. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. If you need something, he's got it. If we would just draw near to him, he would draw near to us. And then the final thing that the enemy uses to keep those strongholds in our lives, secrecy. The enemy loves secrets. The enemy absolutely loves secrets because he knows that what's kept in the dark will not be able to be used against him. Look what it says here in Ephesians 5, verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful to even talk about things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This says that darkness that you've got inside of you, those secrets, those things that you thought that you were going to take to your grave, the enemy wants them to stay right there. Because as long as they stay there, then they can't be a weapon against him. Because what Jesus can do is those things, those deep, dark things, those deep, dark secrets that you've been holding, that he's been holding over your head for so long, he knows that if Jesus gets a hold of it, he can shine light in it, shine light on it, and then shine light through it. And that light can be used for Jesus' glory. Your testimony, that dark thing that you've got in your life, can then become one of the things that frees somebody else. But he wants us to stay in guilt. He wants us to stay in shame. He wants us to stay in this position to where we think that if we were to say anything, then we would be shunned. But the Lord wants to take what is in the dark right now and bring it to light. so that it can bring glory to his name. It can bring freedom to you and bring freedom to somebody else. And so tonight, will you let it stay in the dark? I've asked Nick, my buddy Nick, to come up and just kind of give you a visual of what takes place in this interaction between us and the enemy. And so Nick's gonna play all of us, okay? He's us in this circumstance. I'm gonna play the bad guy, okay? I'm the enemy. And what's interesting about the enemy is he's okay. He's okay if you claim Jesus, okay? He's okay if you claim Jesus. Watch this. If I can get it on. There we go. He's okay if you claim Jesus. On Sundays, on Wednesdays, Nick, raise your hand. He's praising. He's worshiping him. Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, he's okay with him praising him. He's okay with that as long as you're hanging around me. It's okay. You can raise your hands. You can pray out at lunch on Sunday afternoons with all of your friends. That's okay. You're cool. As long as you just stay around me. You know? You're good. But then, whenever Nick starts to walk away, starts to walk towards the Lord, look what happens. He'll let you go a little bit. The enemy will make you think that you're getting away with it, but hold on. No. You don't get to go that far away from me. You remember those secrets? You remember all those things that only me and you know? You can't go too far from me, okay? Because you're not free from this yet. But you can go ahead, try and go to the Lord. Whoa, but you don't need him for everything. You don't need the Lord for everything. Me and you have been figuring this thing out. We've got all the solutions. We've got all the problems solved. And realize this. Look at what happens here. We don't even realize it, but what we're experiencing is a stronghold on our life. The enemy is holding those things over our life. He's using those things to keep us from progressing towards the Lord. And is holding us back from the true relationship that God wants us to have. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. What you notice is that you don't realize that the enemy has a strong hold on you until you actually start to try and progress towards the Lord, right? In the same spot, if Nick was just to stay in that same spot, he would never know. He would never feel the tug of that stronghold. And I don't know what strongholds the enemy is holding on you tonight. But I know this, that the Lord wants to set you free from it. Whatever it is, whatever stronghold that you've got in your life, the Lord wants to set you free. But I tell the high schoolers all the time, the Lord's a gentleman. He's not gonna force his way into your circumstances or your situations. He wants an invite. For us, in our circumstances, in our strongholds, in our fights, he wants to be invited in. And for us, full freedom comes from full surrender to the Lord. What is the thing that you're not fully surrendering to the Lord tonight? What is it? Is it pride? Is it ego? Is it a secret? Have you just felt yourself starting to fall away, becoming more and more apathetic? What is it tonight? Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to be able to step out. To step out and to receive freedom. So tonight, we're going to open up the altars. I think we've got our prayer team that's going to come on down. And tonight, the Lord wants to set you free. Don't sit in your shame. Don't sit in your guilt. Don't sit in your pride. Don't sit in ignorance. It's time for us to break these strongholds. It's time for us to take a step towards the Lord. Yeah, come on down, guys. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pray. And after I get done praying, if you've got a need, we would love to pray with you. But if you've got a stronghold, let's not keep those things in the dark anymore. Let's bring those things to the light. Let's have somebody agree with us tonight. So as soon as I get done praying, these altars are open. And I believe that the Lord wants to bring freedom tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word that brings freedom and knowledge. Father, I pray that as we go throughout life, God, I pray that our lives would reflect that of love and of care for you, for the people around us, the people that you love. Father, I pray that that spirit of apathy would not start to take place and take hold in our lives. The weapon of apathy would not draw us away from who you are. Father, and for our pride, for our secrets, God, I pray that we would lay those things down at your feet tonight. Because you are worthy of it. And as we bring these things to you, allow us to fully surrender them to you so that we can receive full freedom. We're believing it in your name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to worship tonight. If you've got a need, if you've got something that you just want somebody to agree with you in prayer, we would love to pray with you tonight.
Here is where I lay down. One more time, and I will make room. to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you, you and you alone, to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
Father, you have called us to a deeper level of relationship with you tonight. Through your word, through Pastor Bradley, through these songs we've sung, come, your way is better. Come do your work inside of each of us. We thank you so much for the strongholds that you have broken down. Continue to break them down in our lives so we can see the breakthrough. We can see the freedom in you that you offer. Lord, I praise you for those who stepped out tonight and sought prayer on others, on somebody else's behalf. But God, each of us have something in our life. Let us not let anything hold us back from you. Let us fully surrender to you in all that we do. Each and every day that we wake up, let us pick up that cross and carry it for you, Father. Search us and know us each and every day. And let us surrender to you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so much for this truth. Thank you for this night where we've been able to gather, both the young and the experienced. We praise you that we were able to encourage each other in this evening of worship. We just praise you for your goodness. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's give it up for our amazing God who spoke to us tonight. I love it. What a great way to spend your Wednesday of spring break, huh? Pretty incredible. I love it. Hey, and guess what? We got a treat for you. We got a little cornhole and popcorn out on the patio out there with the fire pit burning. That's not just for the youth. That's for any of you that want to come throw some cornhole bags and eat some popcorn. I don't know about y'all, but I love some popcorn, so I'm going to be all about that. Hang out with us, stick around. But before you go, let me bless you. May God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and grant you peace. Now let's give our response. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Be blessed. Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to learn more about North, be sure to check out our website at mountperrinnorth.com. If you have any questions, you can email us at info@mountperrinnorth.com or give us a call at 770-578-9081. And if you're in the Marietta, Georgia area, we'd love to have you join us for worship next Sunday at 9:45 or 11:15 a.m. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.